Okay, our number's a little light tonight, but that's all right. We're going to manage. We're going to survive. We're going to continue. So God gives us the strength. We're going to continue. So that's what we're going to do. The title of the lesson is called Better Things. And you might be recognizing this phrase, better things, from Hebrews chapter 6. But we're going to go back and look at better throughout the scriptures and see what it is. And so we know that comparisons are often made in scripture. You know, there's a lot of contrast. There's one point as opposed to another point. One is better than the other. And sometimes whether something is better depends upon the perspective of the person being involved. What might be better from a spiritual sense may not be better from a physical sense. As someone tries to fulfill their desires and things, I mean, they look at it, well, I can't have no fun or something like that. And so, but we are going to look at that. Well, I guess that would help. All right. Here's some passages. 37:16 from Psalms. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. That's making a contrast. See, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Giving God recognition for his loving kindness. In Psalm 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. And that's like us. That's how we feel. I don't care if I'm a custodian or a doorkeeper or whatever. As long as I'm there. I mean, that's what's important. Make it into God's house. Alright, so we continue in Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9 is similar to it. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, whether men or governments. It doesn't matter. We should always be putting our trust in the Lord. And that's much better to do. And Psalm 119, verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Better than all the riches that are out there. And it's more profitable for us when we think about it, if we will pay attention to it. Now in Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Wisdom is the greatest gift anyone can acquire when you think about it. I mean, sure, you may not be blessed with a lot of money, but if you've got wisdom, you can use your money wisely. And verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And so better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. I mean, so there's all kinds of people around this world, but there's some things that are just better than other things. And in chapter 15 and 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. See, this is what most of us have probably come to live and expect. It's better to put our trust in God than to be involved in all this worldliness out there and lose our souls. So that's what we're aware of. And verse 17 of chapter 15, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. I mean, we don't like going into someone's home when there's a lot of contention and strife going on. We don't like it. We don't like it when it's in our home. We don't like it when it's in other people's homes. And so if all we got is just a little salad, then so be it. But if it's going to cause problems, then we don't need to be around it. Because what happens when you eat when there's a bunch of tension going on? It doesn't settle very well. We know that. And chapter 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Yes, I mean, people with a lot of money, they sometimes cheat. A lot of them do. Let's face it, they do. They take advantage. And verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Wisdom and understanding should top everything. Should be the most desired thing that we can have. You know, God said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who supplies it abundantly. That's in James 1 and verse 5. Verse 5. All right. In verse 19 of chapter 16, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Yes, it's best to be around a bunch of humble people than to be with the prideful people. And he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Yeah, sometimes it takes a lot of effort just to control our own spirit, and that sometimes is better than someone who just is brash and just does whatever they want to do. And Proverbs 17, verse 1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. And once again, goes back to what it said earlier. And verse chapter 19, 1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So yes, walking in integrity. And for some of us, that's what we really want. We want people to recognize that we are consistent, we have integrity, and we're not going to join in with all the foolish talk out there. We're just not going to do that. In verse 22 of 19, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. I mean, so what these two exactly have to do with each other, don't know, but what we desire in people is for them to treat us kindly. I mean, that's what we expect. We want people to treat us kindly because we're going to try to treat them with kindness. And when they come back with biting words or cursing or something like that, I mean, it's kind of upsetting. But even a poor man is better than a liar, because we know what the Bible says where liars are going to end up. See, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Okay, now we're getting to that. We know what that's like. Some of us know what that's like, being with a contentious woman. And sometimes just going out and getting on the roof and just getting in a quiet corner is a whole lot better. Sometimes you have to build your own corners, and you have to shrink into your own room sometimes, whether it's a physical room or your own inner space, you have to control. But that can happen. And similarly, in verse 19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. You know what they say, when mama ain't happy, nobody happy. But we can understand this, and we can see why he would be saying that. And chapter 25, verse 7, for it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. You know, this is basically talking kind of like what Jesus was talking about. When you go into a house, you sit at the lowest place, and then when the host comes up and says, you need to come up here to a higher place, you have more honor. But if you just go plop yourself in the place of highest honor, hey, friend, you got to move. This isn't your place. And then you will walk away in shame. So, I mean, it's the same situation there. So you don't treat yourself as God's gift to mankind or whatever and just think that I need to have all the honor. No, that's talking about pride. We don't need that. So just humble yourself, and then when people raise you up, it brings honor to you. 27 verse 10, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. I mean, sometimes you need help. You need it right there, like we saw the other night with Coco. She looked in and saw in the window that there were four people at the table. Oh, they have company. They don't want to be bothered. Here she is, got a broken leg and suffering, and she knows that we would help her, but she didn't want to bother us. I mean, going to the neighbors, you need to have trusted neighbors who can help you and will help you. Chapter 28, verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. I mean, that's true. We talked about integrity already. And the book of Ecclesiastes says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should go enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Now, can you agree with that? I can. Nothing is better than for a man that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. I mean, that's where it should be. That's what it is. And in chapter 3 and verse 12, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Yes, I mean, we know that. It's better to do that rather than be sorrowful. In verse 22, so I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Nobody can tell the future. So what a person does, I mean, it's their heritage, and that's what they're going to be remembered about. I mean, when Al is gone, people are going to remember he fixed their car, and he did a lot with cars. Same with Russell. He rebuilt the cars, and he has other gifts as well. Sheila and Chris and Linda and I, we all have our gifts that people are going to remember us for. And that's something that we should long for. In chapter 4 and verse 6, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. In other words, striving, strife. That's just something that we don't need. And a lot of us have learned just to walk away from it. Sometimes we don't have that luxury of knowing that. In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, working together, two people working on a project, it makes it a whole lot easier. Especially if you're trying to do some auto work and you need an extra pair of hands to hold something in its place. I mean, so we know that. So two are better than one. And in another passage there in chapter 4, it talks, two are better because they give each other warmth. Verse 13, better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. Yeah, sometimes if a king is foolish, yeah, people aren't going to admonish him and tell him what he needs to hear because they're afraid of him. So it's better to be poor and wise. Verse 5, better not to vow than to vow and not pay. And this is not what Jesus said. Don't make your vows. Don't make your rash vows. Don't swear. I mean, just if you say that you're going to do something, do it. Keep your word. Chapter 6, verse 3, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. I mean, we've all known people like that. People, it doesn't matter how long they live, they're just grumpy old people. They're brash, they're mean, they're mean-spirited. And when they die, who cares? I mean, we all feel that way. There's certain individuals. Who cares? I mean, they're gone. I mean, I think the world is better off sometimes when certain people die. And so, yeah, we can see that. But that's what he's saying here. It would have been better to be stillborn than to be that type of individual that nobody loved him. So, now getting to chapter 7. The first few verses, I mean, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Yes, the good name, We all need to have a good name. We need to have a good reputation so that people will, when they hear our name, they'll think honesty, they'll think integrity, they'll think spiritually minded, they will think good things about us. So that's having a good name. And that's better than being wealthy or anything like that. And of course, the day of our death is the day that we're going to remember. We may not cherish it, but it's a day we're going to remember, and we're going to remember what left us. And so, and that's a lot better, because when a child is born, all you have is potential. When one who has lived their life, they leave a legacy. So that's why the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. It says, better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Nobody likes to go to a house where they've had a death in the family. And nobody likes to go to a wake or anything like that. Some people seem to make a profession of it, but nobody really likes that. But when you're there, you're thinking, you know what? This person was younger than me. I could be next. I could go. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And so our reflection brings us to the fact that this is the end of all mankind. Everyone's going to die. I am going to die. And so when we're in a house of mourning, we contemplate, okay, what are they saying about this individual? Could he be that person we talk about a little bit? Glad he's gone, or ding dong, the witch is dead, or whatever. We're not going to be doing that. We're going to be thinking about the good that they did and wondering, will they say the same thing about me? And so we need to consider that. The end of all men is coming. We're all going to die, and those who are living properly will take it to heart. They will take measure, and they will take stock, and they will evaluate themselves. Where do I need to make adjustments? In verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. You know, sometimes it's not there. We had some friends that we really cared about, and they had a teenage son who was driving home one night, the car flipped over and killed him. And we went to the house before the funeral, and the mom was sitting there. Of course, she had a great personality anyway, but she was talking about things. She was a bus driver for the schools, and she had all these stories about these kids and what they did, and she had the place rolling in laughter. I mean, it was just so funny. And I was sitting in the next room listening. How can she be doing that when her son just died? But she wasn't worried because her son was a Christian. And so she was enjoying being with family and friends, and she was able to do it. And she made through it. And so sometimes a sad countenance, the heart is made better. If we can go and comfort somebody, I mean, it may be the fact we just go and sit there, you know, like Job's friends did. They just sat there and waited for him to say something. Sometimes that is all that we need to do. We don't have to go and say, well, I know how you're feeling and all that stuff. We don't need to do that. See, in verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And yes, if you recognize someone, if you respect them as wise with a lot of wisdom, and they're trying to correct you, you know, that's a whole lot better, because that means they care about you. Fools are just going along. They don't care about your soul, and so they're not going to do anything to help you maintain your spiritual focus. So yes, that's why we need the rebuke of the wise from time to time. In verse 8, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And that's true. That's what we should all be striving for. When we come into this world, we're just doing a lot of screaming and crying. You know, let's face it, we all did. We all came into this world screaming and crying and very upset. We were taken out of our warm little comfy place. But you know what? The patient spirit is better than the proud in spirit. In chapter 9, verse 4, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. I mean, that's kind of strange to say, but you know what? Hey, it's still alive. Dead lion is not doing anything. In verse 16, then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Just because someone doesn't mean anything in this world to a lot of people, sometimes his wisdom are words that people should live by. But they're going to suppress it. I mean, all the crazy people in this world, let's face it, would they allow me to get out and address on the, if I go to the game down there, would they let me get on the PA system and preach a sermon? No. They don't want to hear that. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. I mean, all it takes is one sin. That can destroy a lot. And it can really mess things up for not only that individual, but a lot of other individuals as well. All right. In the New Testament, we have a few verses. Philippians 1:23, Paul says, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But if I remain, it will mean fruitful labor for me to do for you. And so being with Christ, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. That's what we're seeking for, which is far better. In Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And yes, we talk about this quite a bit, especially in our book that we went through. I mean, we're to consider others as more important than ourselves. That means we humble ourselves before others, and we should be doing that. And so Hebrews 1:4, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Of course, we know the beginning of Hebrews 1:1-4. That's the introduction of Christ. In times past, God spoke to the fathers and the prophets. In these last days, has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and having become so much better than the angels. I mean, he was put into higher position than the angels. He obtained a more excellent name than they. That the name of Jesus, we shall have salvation. The name of Jesus, we can be saved. At the word of Jesus, people can be spared from their problems. I mean, so yes, Jesus has a much more excellent name. And let's face it, we only have two other names as far as the angels. Only two of them are mentioned by name. But there's many angels, and we don't know their names. Is that important? Probably not. Hebrews 6:9 says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. See, the last part of chapter 5, he was kind of chiding them because they should have been teachers by this time. They had to be taught again. And then at the beginning of verse 6, we need to press on to more mature things to get away from the basics and grow to maturity. And so after 7, all said all that, he says, but we're confident that there's better things for you. And those better things are when they finally get their lives on track with the gospel message, that they will be doing those things they should be doing, and the end result will be much better. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Yeah, what Christ brought was something better than what they had. And so as he's addressing these Hebrews, which basically grew up under the law, most of these Hebrews had obeyed the gospel, but some of them were seeing the persecution of Christians, and they were kind of trying to revert back to the Hebrew way of life. And the writer's getting on their case that, no, Christ is better, regardless. And verse 22, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Jesus is that seal. He is that stamp of approval. And he has brought us a better covenant than the old one. In verse 6 of Hebrews 8, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. See, the promises from the old law, you break the law, you die. Now, we break the law, there's a chance that we can have forgiveness of sins. And so, that is much better. Those are better promises. The promises of salvation, that's so much better. Hebrews 9:23, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Yeah, sometimes they were making comparisons between the old and the new. Yeah, these things accomplished some things, but they didn't accomplish it all. And now, the better sacrifices, I mean, there's only one better sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ. It was his sacrifice that was sufficient for all time. Didn't have to be done year after year and week after week and all the time. Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, and we contact that sacrifice in baptism. Hebrews 11:16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Yeah, we're talking about Abraham and Moses and these people. God has prepared a place for them. He had a land prepared for them. But yet we go that even further into our understanding. There is a place prepared for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And this place was already planned long before this world began. And it was through Jesus Christ that we could be saved and have the salvation and the hope of heaven. Hebrews 11:35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Yeah, that in the Old Testament, when these people were going through this, they really were not aware of a resurrection. That was only mentioned just a couple of times in the scriptures by some of the obscure prophets. And most of them did not understand the concept of eternal life, life after death, our soul continuing. They didn't do that because 2 Timothy 1:10 tells us that life and immortality were brought to light through the gospel. And so the gospel started teaching about heaven and eternal life. And that's why people would come up and ask Jesus, because he started preaching the gospel, what can I do to obtain eternal life? And verse 40 of Hebrews 11, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So yes, God had something better in plan for those who would be called Christians. What is better is salvation in Christ. Hebrews 12:24, talking about Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to be the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Now, there's several places in the New Testament talked about Abel, though he be dead, he speaketh. That's what he said there in Hebrews 11. You know, by faith he made a more excellent sacrifice. And by that, had a testimony that, I mean, what he did, we should recognize he obeyed God. I mean, when you start thinking, what kind of example should we follow? Follow an example of somebody who obeys God. And God recognized Abel and gave him credit for it. And if we obey God, he will give us credit for it as well. And so the blood of Jesus made it possible that we can have better things than what Abel had. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Yeah, he talks in this passage, you know, some people, they do evil and they get punished by the authorities. Well, rightfully so, you deserve it. But if you're doing good and someone decides to come and punish you, then that's what God would rather happen to you. I mean, so, yeah, if we're doing good. I mean, we see this in other countries. We don't have it here yet. I mean, as a strong possibility, it could happen. But people preaching the gospel message, they're imprisoned and sometimes put to death because they're preaching something that isn't the narrative of that culture. 2 Peter 2:21, for it would have been better for them not to have been known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Once again, another thing talking about how, yeah, we can fall from grace. We can turn our backs on God even after obeying it. And our condition is a whole lot worse. It would have been worse for those people who never obeyed the gospel. You know, they're going to face condemnation. No question about that. But what about those people who obeyed the gospel but yet turned back into the world? You know, they're going to be going throughout eternity knowing I was on the right track and I got off. And I'm going to be lost forever because of that. So every verse in this sermon has the word better in it. And the worldly mind might not agree with God's word about what is better. And that's true. The world, they don't care about what God says. So, but what God says definitely does produce for us who are spiritually minded something better. And our duty to God tells us to learn that the spiritual is much better than the physical. That's what we really need to be focused on. Now, what we do in our bodies in the physical is going to have a bearing where we end up. So that means we have to learn to control ourselves and keep ourselves in check and keep ourselves from doing those things that God calls sin. It is better to live for Christ than to live for oneself and to die and be cast into hell. I mean, that's simple enough. God's way is better. God's way is always better. God's way has been proven. And many formulas that are successful in this world, even though they don't mention God, they follow principles that God has already established. They just don't know it, but they have. And so when a business is successful, they're successful because they followed principles that God already laid out. And so God's ways is always better. And that's what we need to understand. So that's our lesson for tonight. I mean, better things. That's what we have to look forward to. We have better things in store for us once we get through this life. We're struggling every day. We're dealing with all this garbage going on. We're dealing with all the hatred and animosity going on in this world. And we should be looking forward to that peace, the eternal peace that we're going to have with God. So think about those things, and that's our lesson. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.